Leonard Gates is in the studio along with Clarence Lidster from Seas Records, and Johnny Randolph is with us as well. And we're going back to the telephones. Let's talk to Kyle. Thank you for waiting, and you're on 84 WHAS.
Yes, well, number one, you've got an excellent program.
Well, thank you.
I've enjoyed it immensely, but I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in New Mexico for a number of years. We had a station there, KGFL in Roswell, that used to play the old-time records back. Like, I loaned them some of mine. I've got records that go back to in the early 20s. And I'm wondering if there's any place in the world that still does that.
They would play music from the 20s?
Yeah.
Boy, maybe some public stations possibly do some of that.
I've got...
some special programs on some public stations, I know, do that. But I don't know about a... Do you guys know of a radio station that will go back that far now?
No.
I don't.
Not in the 20s.
I've got Caruso Records. I've got stuff like that. And the modern back in the 20s, which I thoroughly enjoy. Of course, I'm... 68 years old.
Mm-hmm. No, to that question, I don't know of any station that's playing that far. In fact, you're seeing stations now that were playing some of the big band music are now kind of moving the years of their playlist up. They're getting back now more into the early to mid 50s and things.
Well, I got quite a collection of Glenn Miller and Frankie Carl.
Boy, he's a heck of a piano player, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Frankie
yeah.
Carl, boy, he could. You knew right away it was a Frankie Carl record. Unfortunately, for a lot of the oldies, the farther back you go, the harder it is to find, and the thinner or the narrower the demographic gets mm-hmm. for the appeal on that. And if you were to take a station, and say to put the thing on the air tomorrow to feature music from say, the 20s and the 30s, you'd probably be hard-pressed to come up with the majority of the hits back then. They're simply not available. If you were one person doing that, you would have to go and say, like, get the Kyle here, maybe borrow some records from Kyle and records mm-hmm. from so-and-so to put it together.
Well, that's what we did in New Mexico. The listeners, we would take our records in.
How long ago was this in New Mexico?
Oh, well, it went on up until about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Was it a steady thing, or they do it like once a week?
It was done every Sunday afternoon. From 1 to 3 o'clock.
Okay, as a mm-hmm. feature, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, some of the stations that cater to the older demographic format now will do some of that on, like, Saturday afternoon. We'll bring in
right.
a little panel and play some of the older, not that old, but generally they'll go back in maybe 30s and early 40s and do some of the specialty things. Right, we know where you're coming from now.
Kyle, thank you very much for the call tonight.
Appreciate it. You have an excellent program and keep it up.
Well, thank you.
These guys are terrific, and I appreciate you calling tonight. Let's go to Dallas. You're on 84 WHAS.
Merry Christmas from Estherville, Iowa. Hi,
well,
Merry Christmas
to you, too. We appreciate you calling tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a fantastic program, doing a lot to do with records and radio. I was kind of wondering whether you guys know anything about the American Printing House for the Blind, whether some of their readers and narrators would be former radio personalities from Louisville.
Yeah, they do borrow a lot of guys who record for them are announcers here in the Louisville area.
Oh, they are.
And so what these guys will freelance for the American Printing House and will contract to read books or magazines or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I noticed that somebody like Van Vance or someone like that used to, I think he used to do the old Kentucky Colonels basketball game
mm-hmm.
back then. And
Right, Van has a sports talk show here. Van and Milton Metz is a longtime reader over there at the American Printing House. We have several on this staff who have read over there from time to time.
Well, I just want to say that you do a fantastic job, and we love the reading and some of the books that we borrow from the Library of Congress, and I just want to wish you all the very best for 1991 and, the rest of the decade.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll pass that on to Van and Milton. I know they'll appreciate that.
All right. You take care now. Stop.
Thank you, Dallas. Appreciate you calling from Iowa tonight. Let's go to Mike. You're on 84 WHAS.
Good evening, Joe. Maybe you will recognize the voice here. I don't know if you do or not, but we are classmates.
I know that voice. This is my old buddy Mike from... This voice goes back a long time. Mike, I know who you are. How are you?
Yeah, can I tell Terry our school joke?
No.
that was right to the point there, Mike.
Boy, I tell you what, I know this guy.
Can't even take a vote?
we'd like to outvote Joe on this one, Mike.
Yeah.
Do three guests get to overrule the host?
I'll tell you what. This guy, now we had a few good times. We could tell a story or two, couldn't we, Mike?
We did indeed.
Boy, I got my finger on the button.
First of all, one thing here, Leonard probably doesn't remember this because, you know, I'm in pure bit of his history. But, Leonard, I want to thank you very much, sir, for giving me the 1973 countdown for June, early June 73. Because that's when I graduated from high school.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I've done that for a number of people over the years when they've made a very special request. I'm glad you got that.
And one other thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to thank Johnny Randolph there. Joe, you may remember when we worked high school radio together. I don't know if you were around very much or not, but I know a couple of times that Johnny came out and visited us and gave us a little bit of advice and gave us some of his sage comments there.
I remember like it was yesterday. Wouldn't have missed it.
But anyhow, I appreciated Johnny coming out and visiting us. And I just wanted to say, you know, thanks for all you guys being here, and I enjoyed it. And although I'm no longer in radio, Joe knows that at one point in time I did work in a small town and a little bit north of Louisville. However, I have decided to go with the IRS for a more stable career.
Well, there's a guy who made the smart move, I'll tell you.
I always enjoyed radio, had fun with it, worked in broadcasting for a while, and I just wish you all the best. And,
well, Mike, it's good to hear from you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank Leonard for his little bit that he's given me over the years, and I thank Johnny for all his wise advice. And thank you for being a good friend, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. What a nice thing to say. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, I'm ready to go another year now.
We're at 13 past 11 from 84 WHAS with some lines available at 571-8484 and toll-free 800-444-8484. So where's it going next, guys? We're approaching the end of a year and we're going into 1991. Wayne and Ken in the morning have a running debate about whether the decade really started in 1990 or whether it starts in 1991 in terms of the 90s. We're not going to get into that debate, but as we go into this next year, where's the music going? Any comments from the panel here?
That's everybody's kind of giving that look around right now.
Just jump
is it,
right
is,
in.
It, gee, is it where it is going, where we'd like it to go? I don't know.
Where do you
know.
Think it is going, first of all?
Hmm. I'll let them. John, where do you think it's going?
Well, I have to answer this in all honesty from a country standpoint because I'm involved in a country radio station and a pop radio station, both in the same town, one AM and one FM. However, I'm on the air at the country station. So from that standpoint, I have to be a little more up on things. With the adult contemporary station, I basically see what has happened as opposed to what is going to be happening. Because our adult contemporary station basically does not play that many current records. It's mostly what they call recurrent songs. Mm-hmm. They're popular in the past 6 months. But the country station is more of a new breed type of music, and so I can only answer from the country. And
okay.
From a very quick answer here, the country radio continues to be on a very exciting threshold right now. Probably 3/4 of the artists on the chart right now in country radio were unheard of 5 years ago, and this continues to happen. And country radio, as opposed to probably most other forms of music right now, seems to be very much alive and well and very current oriented, and perhaps picking up some of the same products and methodology that pop radio had back in the 60s, that type thing. So from that standpoint, I think we're going to continue to see new artists, the Clint Blacks and the Randy Travises and that type thing, to continue to come along. And I couldn't give you a thorough answer on pop.
Are we ever going to see another, ever's a long time, but in the foreseeable future, another Elvis, another Beatles, someone who will make the impact? And I guess some people will say that New Kids on the Block are the 1990 Elvis and the Beatles.
I think that you're going to see someone in pop radio that could do that. I don't think it'll be in country because there are so many new artists in country. And I think the only time that you see an Elvis or you see a Beatles, and I think that history will bear me out on this, is that when...
Stagnation.
Mm-hmm. Good
right.
word. When there's stagnation. The stagnation is not occurring right now in country, and it with New Kids on the Block, it is probably not really occurring in pop either. And stagnation never really seems to occur in rhythm and blues, because rhythm and blues tends to be pretty much on the cutting edge. There always seems to be something new and fresh. And rhythm and blues is a very innovative music form. Now, where there may be something that could be innovative would be on the album-oriented rock stations. They seem to be suffering from pretty high degree of staleness right now. Most of them are probably three-fourths oldies, and something needs to be happening there as far as a group. There's a format that really needs to latch on to a group, a trailblazer, and what they now call, used to call Top 40, now call CHR, Contemporary Hit Radio. They have their new kids on the block right now, but there's a little stale right there too, and the Milli Vanilli thing is out the window and whatever. So there's probably an AOR or CHR. There's probably room for someone. It just depends on how stale it gets.
Clarence, you think that the time is right for a new Beatles, Elvis type, someone that will really come on the scene and take the country by storm?
Yes, I do, because right now the children are really primed. When I say children, I shouldn't say that. I'm talking about the young bad audience is really primed for something new. They seem to really want to latch on to a trend, but if they could get a hold of somebody with stability, your artists now, even your major artists, are jumping from one stall to another, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
If they could get a hold of something stable, I think they would hook on to them, and you would have another major artist like that.
17 past 11 from 84 WHAS as we're talking music tonight. 571-8484 and toll free 800-444-8484. We'll take a short break, come right back, and get to more of your calls after this time out on 84 WHAS.
It's Tuesday afternoon, November 27th, at Jefferson Forest on Bear Camp Road in Fairdale, Kentucky. Someone goes into the forest and sets it on fire. Police know that emergency flares were used to start the fire, and over 40 acres were burned. If you have any information about this fire, police need your help. Crime Stoppers will pay $1,000 cash for information that leads to the arrest and indictment of the person or persons who committed this crime. If you call, you do not have to give your name. We will also pay cash for information that leads to an arrest and indictment in any other felony crime. You can be a Crime Stopper. Call 582-CLUE. That's 582-2583. This message, a public service brought to you by the Jefferson County Police and 84 WHAS.
Back to the telephones. We'll go down to North Carolina and talk to Ronald. You're on the air.
I can know where the CDs are headed for in the 90s.
Where the CDs are headed for?
Right.
Can you be a little more specific? How do you mean?
Well, I mean, since the vinyl's been gone, the CD will take the place of the vinyl and be a big force like the old records were.
Can I feel that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, I think you're seeing more and more, not only of the old material, but you're seeing a whole lot more of your CDs coming out that I think within the next 5 years, you'll almost see a double of what you've seen in the last 10 years come out on CD.
Do you gentlemen think CDs are going to be around for a while, or are we going to have something that's going to come along to replace CDs here in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, if it will, it'll be DAT tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask Clarence a question. I saw a survey the other day, and this may be of interest to the Carolina caller, too, that said that cassette tapes are really selling well.
Yes.
And that CDs are not flat. The CDs are not increasing like cassette tapes are. Is that true in your shop?
That's true. Convenience. People are still buying for convenience.
I think there's a cost factor there, too, because that CD still is costing, $4 or $5 more than the cassette equivalent right now. But the sound quality is there. And as far as long-term collectability factors, it seems the CDs are the format that has replaced vinyl in that extent. Cassettes have never been a collectible factor, at least not yet. And no one has really expected them to become a major collectible. They're considered to be pretty much a throwaway product. They stretch, over time, they lose a lot of their sound quality. Whereas vinyl held on to it for much longer if it was taken care of. And a CD, of course, it appears is going to do better than that. There's still a little controversy on that, but it appears the CD is going to do even better.
But they are saying that CDs were put out 5 years ago are now starting to experience some problems. They have little pin holes in them, and there are certain flaws in there. Of course, that may have been some of the first CDs they put out. And CDs have not stood the test of time as far as how well they wear.
That's true. Also, when CDs first came out, they were considered to be indestructible. Mm-hmm. But now, over the last 2 years, if you'll read the back of the CDs, they tell you to handle them as if they were a vinyl record. In other words, handle them with care.
You know, the interesting thing about it, though, too, if you look, take a magnifying glass or whatever, and you look at your CD, you will see what appears to be a lot of pinholes and,
right,
and things like that. But I've read some articles that tell you that that's just the way it's manufactured, and it really has nothing to do with the sound, and it's nothing to really be concerned about. I don't know, the battle really rages on about that, but even at their worst, I think you would have to say that compact discs will hold up longer than the other two mediums that are available.
That's true.
Correct. Out there right now.
I can speak for 4 years, and so far after 4 years, they're still holding up fine. We'll see. We'll have to let the time be the test, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Ronald?
That's about it. I'm just going to thank you, and because I have a CD player myself, mm-hmm. It sounds great.
Well, I appreciate you calling tonight.
You're welcome.
22 past 11 from 84 WHAS with some lines available here, 571-8484 and toll-free, 800-444-8484. Well, let's go back to memories for just a couple of minutes. I want to just take a quick poll here around the room. If you could, if we go back to concerts, and I know everybody remembers some of their more impressive concerts. John just told us a great story in the last hour about the Paul Revere and the Raiders concert. I had a chance when I was just a little kid to see the Beatles in concert and that type of thing, and it's something that I will never forget. Do you have a concert memory? We'll start with Leonard here that really stands out from your youth or even from a more recent time.
Well, I guess there are several concerts from my youth that stand out. I guess just the aura of being there back in the 60s. I think some of the concerts at the fairgrounds where the Four Seasons appeared and also the Beach Boys. But I think for sheer energy, the concert that still stands out in my mind happened back in 1971 when Elvis was in Louisville. I think it was November 5th, give or take, about mm-hmm. that time. That was probably the most anticipated concert I ever went to. I didn't have a particularly good seat for the concert. But the atmosphere was the most charged I've ever seen in a not the wild, uncontrolled like you've seen some Who concerts and some other things over the years that I've been to, but in a more dignified manner. But the place just literally exploded. The flashes, the light, the intensity of the crowd when Elvis came on stage that day. I've never probably experienced anything quite like that at a concert, as that particular concert back in 1971. That was my first opportunity to see Elvis.
Hmm. Clarence, do you have a memorable concert experience for us?
Okay, I was also at the 71 concert, and that was the one that stood out in my mind because I went there strictly, even though I like Elvis, I went to as a historical thing to me, mm-hmm. just to observe him, and it was almost like static electricity pulled me up out of my seat when he walked out on the stage. I've never experienced anything like it. It's just like when he entered the room, it was just static. But one of my favorite all-time concerts, I have to go back to my younger days. I would see the Beach Boys when he was outside here at the fairgrounds, and there was a group that Shangri-La's was on the same bill. But I'll never forget the Sir Douglas Quintet.
Hmm.
I enjoyed those guys so much, but my favorite thing, I don't know what the one slipped on. They were doing the song She's About a Mover, and the one guitarist slipped and fell flat on his back, but never missed a lick on his guitar.
That's hot.
I still enjoy
that.
That's
a hot thing. And those guys are still, Doug Somm of the Sir Douglas Quintet are still around. He's still putting out some pretty good music.
What? He's with the, what's that group he's with, man?
Texas Tornado.
Texas Tornado,
John, do you have, other than the Paul Revere's story, do you have another memorable concert moment for us?
Yeah, I do. Not a good one. This was with the Box Tops and the Beach Boys. At Freedom Hall, big coliseum in town. The reason I mention that is because people from North Carolina use Freedom Hall, and they say, huh? But started out, and the Beach Boys were playing a very early concert prior to Louisville in Indianapolis, and it was an hour earlier in Indianapolis. So the way the format went out here at this concert, we had the local band that went on and played for an hour, then they packed up and went home. And the Box Tops came on. The Box Tops had their one hit, The Letter, and They came on. They were supposed to play for an hour. And they played half of one song and stopped in the middle of the song and said, our contract says we play on Vox PA equipment and this is PV or whatever. And they walked off the stage.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm the MC of this concert, right? So the tone was set right there. And the Beach Boys were still playing in Indianapolis. They were going to be chauffeured on a limousine to the airport, excuse me, fly on a private plane down to Louisville. Well, I had that plane leaving the airport and in the air for as long as they could Greyhound bus to get down here from Louisville, from Indianapolis. And the plane was late because the plane blew a tire on the runway. They had to change the tire. In the meantime, there's no one. There's 20,000 people or whatever out here at Freedom Hall, and I'm here trying to pacify this audience and dying 1,000 deaths every time I went out on a stage. So the Beach Boys finally got here at 11:30. They finally got on stage at 11:30. At night, and the Box Tops had left the stage at about 10 after 9.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was all me in between there.
I'm kind of glad I missed that concert, Johnny.
I kind of wish I'd have missed it, too.
I would have remembered it.
I bet he remembers every minute of the 2 hours and 20 minutes, right?
But the other thing that occurs is the Beach Boys start playing at 11:30, and at midnight, they stop in the middle of a song that says, union rules say we can't play past midnight into another day, and they walk off. And I ran off.
Who was the most popular guy in Louisville that night? We know it wasn't John Randolph. My goodness. What a great story that one is. We're at 27 after 11 from 84 WHAS. We're talking music tonight. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second. Let me bring you up to date, though, on Gary Rizzo's Color Radar forecast from the Weather Center. Gary says partly cloudy tonight, 17 for an overnight low, then mostly cloudy, warming up to 28 for tomorrow. Now, for tomorrow night, some light snow is possible, 24 for an overnight low. Then that light snow could turn to freezing rain and then rain on Thursday with a daytime high of around 33. Right now, 21 in Kentucky, and a wind chill factor is 14 above at 84 WHAS, your official weather station.
Imagine yourself deep in outer space, surrounded by vast stretches of black nothingness. Imagine a magazine that takes you there and through the whole panorama of flight from the Wright brothers to the space shuttle. This magazine also lets you know what it's like to sit in the cockpit of an F-14 and what it's like to be aloft in a hot air balloon. The magazine is Air and Space Smithsonian. Each issue gives you a breathtaking look at the world of space and flight. Filled with dazzling photography and fascinating articles, Air and Space is something your entire family will look forward to receiving. With man on the verge of a new era of space exploration, you need to be informed. So come aboard. A one-year subscription to Air and Space Smithsonian, published bimonthly, costs only $18. To take advantage of this offer, call toll-free 800-262-4800. That's 800-262-4800. Call now.
My left foot was killing me. I was just burning and itching between the toes.
Todd Adams of Haverhill, Massachusetts, is telling us about Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder.
I would apply Gold Bond Medicated Powder in between the toes, and it stops the pain instantly.
Gold Bond's Triple Action is the absorbing action of powder, the medicating action of a proven itch fighter, and the drying action of zinc oxide.
Gold Bond Powder is the difference between a good day and a bad day.
Try Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder. Use only as directed.
84 WHAS with more winners.
Oh, thank you.
Right, I'm ready for it.
Congratulations to you.
$1,000.
That's the most wonderful thing to ever happen to me, I think, in my whole life.
Well, of course it's terrific. It's $1,000 in free money.
Oh, that's great.
Now, you're $1,000 richer than when I met you a moment ago.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't believe it. Thank you.
A 1990 Mazda Miata.
Friend, before this moment, what else have you won in your life?
Nothing.
An 8.4 carat diamond tennis bracelet from the Shane Company.
You have just guessed the eighth digit, which is number 4. You've opened the vault, and inside is that diamond tennis bracelet created exclusively for 84 WHAS. Eileen, it's a one-of-a-kind item.
Oh, thank you.
Jump into the winner's circle every time you set your radio and lock it in on 84 WHAS.
Well, if you like the older music, the music of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, our good friend Joe Donovan is in After Midnight tonight. It's the all-night rock and roll revival. He'll play some songs that you don't hear every day. In fact, as I've said many times on this program, my favorite is the Odd and Obscure Hour. He'll get that started around 3 o'clock. And you talk about some of the lesser hits. I mean, we go way back, way deep in the archives here and pull out some. But lots of music and great memories after midnight with Joe Donovan here on 84 WHAS. Craig, thank you for waiting, and you're on the air.
Yes, Joe, I think you have a very good show tonight.
Thank you.
I'm in my early 20s, and I wanted to make an opinion on whether, you know, there's going to be another rock group or personality like Elvis or the Stones or somebody like that
mm-hmm.
that take the country by storm. And I'm of the opinion that one characteristic of a group like that that has such wild popularity is that they're able to attract a vast age group, like
right.
just not teenagers, like New Kids, and they're able to carry them throughout the years. A group like the New Kids on the Block, I just don't think the people that like them when they're 14 or 15 are going to like them when they're 20 or something.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I just don't know if it's going to happen in the near future. I mean, U2 is a group that came along that kind of had it, but they're, I don't know, they're still around now, but they kind of lose it after a while.
Well, think about all the groups, though, and all the artists in the 80s, guys who were supposed to be the next Beatles. And, I mean, I guess that's every publicist's dream or whatever, but there were a ton of them, and I'm sure in the 90s we'll see a whole bunch more.
Yeah, I think the 80s is really an era where there's just so many groups that came out, and there were some really good ones, but they got kind of clouded in with the other ones. But I don't think it's fair to say the New Kids will be something like that, because I just don't see their popularity carrying on with people when they turn 25 or 30 or something.
Yeah, it sure doesn't happen very often. We're approaching 40 years on Elvis. We're approaching 30 years on the Beatles.
You know, it's amazing, and Clarence, I want your comments on this too, how the we're seeing the nationwide trend is that so many of the people who bought Beatle records when the compact discs were issued, they went out and bought the same records on CD. Are the Beatles still continue to be a big seller on compact disc and cassette?
Yes. There will be no end to the sales on the Beatles.
And Beatle memorabilia is still pretty big, isn't it?
Yes, real big.
Craig, thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you.
Let me go to Louise. You're on 84 WHAS.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if anybody remembered Mr. Variety on 4th Street.
Yeah.
He used to have the record shop.
Variety mm-hmm. Records,
Variety
they do.
Records. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was in grade school and he had a program. He used to give away records.
Gave away records?
Yeah, I think he had a program on the radio.
Oh, he gave it? Oh, okay. Okay.
And then there was Beecher Frank.
Yeah.
Paul Kelly.
Sure.
Yes.
Tommy Downs.
He was here when I came to town in 65,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was around, and I bet we have a couple of guys here, Leonard and Clarence, who used to win records, maybe Variety records off of some of those legendary names, don't we?
Gee, I don't think I went off any of those people. I went off Johnny, though.
Yeah.
trying to get prizes out of these guys.
Yeah, it was hard
tough, but
Mr. Youth sitting over there. Oh, I was just a kid when I won records off of Johnny Randolph. Yeah. Mm.
Mom used to hold me up to the radio.
Well, he did. Mr. Variety is right. He had a couple of shops here in town, and he did very well. And some of those names you mentioned were just legendary names in this town, the Beecher Franks and the Paul Callies
yes.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Louisa, thank you for the call tonight.
Uh-huh.
We're at 11:35 on 84 WHAS. It's the Mets Here Show. This is Joe Elliott filling in for Milton tonight. And tomorrow night, Milton is going to ask you the question, so what would you do if you were the president about the situation in the Persian Gulf? We'll talk about that starting tomorrow night at 9 right here.
84 WHAS.
Paul Harvey speaks in capital letters.
When is somebody going to sue the public school system for malpractice?
About the issues that touch us all.
Hospitals have been getting a bum rap.
And before a national audience, he asks the question.
I don't know why they want us to say Beijing. We never say Paris.
But we sometimes ask ourselves.
Airlines spend millions searching you for weapons. Then with first-class meals, they give you a steak knife.
Really enjoying it.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to kind of comment. There was a DJ convention, not a convention, but a kind of reunion back in 85 of all the old Chicago DJs that were back around early 60s. You were talking about WLS. They had a lot of the WLS DJs and CFL.
Sure.
They had kind of a rivalry going on back then.
That's an understatement, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the stories that came out of that that reunion was really, and they had it on the air. That was what made it so great. These guys just, you know, got together, sit around talking, and told different stories and things. And it was just really great to hear. And one of the comments, though, one of the DJs that was on LS back in the 70s made a comment. And I thought it was kind of typical of AM the way it went. And you were talking about AM about an hour ago or so, and
right.
You know, some of the demise of AM. And I think a lot of it had to do with the music. The music just, you know, one of the fellas said, they asked him why he got out of radio, and well, he is now a newsman, but on TV here. But he said the reason he got out of rock radio is because of the music. He said he just got tired of it.
Yeah,
nothing there.
You know, it's funny, you talk about WLS and WCFL, we had much the same thing in Louisville with the old WAKY and WKLO, and Johnny Randolph here worked for both stations back in the 60s and the 70s, and that was really good for everybody, wasn't it, John? Because competition made for two great radio stations.
It sure did, and of course they had the same thing, like you said, Joe, and Hank, too, on a larger scale with two big 50,000-watt stations in Chicago. WCFL changed format long before WLS did, and WCFL, I think, was more of a case of management politics and whatever. But WLS changed format and went to a talk format here, what, Hank, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
Okay, but the WLS, up until the end, they there's some strange things, and I don't know if it's grasping for straws or what, but WLS for a radio station was a really hard rock radio station. I mean, they just were almost heavy metal, and that, as a rule, just doesn't really work on AM. Then they seem to have a loss in ratings. They ended up really with no real strong personalities. The Lou Jacks were gone, and et cetera, et cetera. And then they went from heavy metal to playing a lot of mushy oldies like Engelbert Humperdinck.
Uh-huh.
I remember hearing After the one time I turned on, I heard Van Halen on air. The next time I turned on, I heard After the Love of Engelbert
right.
Humperdinck, et cetera, et cetera. Is that how it happened, Hank?
That's pretty much the way it went. They just, it seemed like they just couldn't find, you know, what they wanted to play, and they wound up with two, you know, I guess you would call shock radio. You know, they had these two guys on there. They're still on radio tonight. Up here.
Oh, in the loop, yeah.
Sure. Stephen Gary.
Stephen Gary, yeah. They started out on, they started out actually on the loop, and then they went to LS and then
right.
back to the loop. And they're still as, you know, bad as they used, you know. They cracked down on them a little bit.
Bad as they want to be.
Well, that's Hank, I appreciate you calling from Chicago tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work. I enjoy it.
Thanks,
well,
Hank.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Let's go to David. You're on 84 WHAS.
Good evening. Really enjoying the show tonight.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say I used to work on Sunday afternoons, and I looked forward every week to hearing Kentuckiana Flashback with Leonard Yates.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, David. Thanks for that compliment.
One of my favorite radio shows. I want to ask you a quick musical question. That remake that Cher has out right now, it's in his Kiss or something like
the
that.
Old, right. Right.
Betty Everett.
Song.
Who had the original?
Betty
Everett.
Oh, there you go.
Coming to chorus here, Clarence. Let's get it together here.
One, two, three. Right. Betty Everett.
Right. 1964, the year.
Springtime, right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You guys.
You know, there's a song. You talk about some of the songs that really hold up. I always thought that was a terrific song, and I'm really glad to see Cher bring that back. I'm a little partial to the Betty Everett version, but there's a song. You talk about... I was having this discussion a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, and we thought, you know, if you could prepare a time capsule and you could try to explain what rock and roll was, if there were songs that you'd put in that time capsule, a song like It's in His Kiss or something like that would demonstrate the girl group sound, boy, that would be one of them, because that was a pretty magic song and continues to stand up and get a lot of airplay today. It's one of the songs that we play quite a bit, or even on this radio station.
And there's a lot of magic songs that you don't hear because, for various assorted reasons, they may have been on an album that you didn't pick up on because it was not released as a single for various political reasons, say, by the record company or whatever. There's a lot of songs out there that have never really become hits that if someone had the foresight and could listen to a song that was, say, done maybe in the 60s and do it in a 90s way or whatever. Yeah, there's probably a wealth of material out there.
Well, remakes, of course, have always been a big part of the business. Now, that's interesting. The Betty Everett song was the follow-up to a fairly minor hit that she had called You're No Good, which, of course, a few years ago, Linda Ronstadt remade and had a big hit record with. So I think remakes will always be part of the music business. So
seem to be more now, though, than they in the last couple of years, don't you think?
Seem to be, although if you look back, of course, you had the Platters remaking old things way, way back. They were remaking old standards back in the 50s. But, yes, it does seem like that there are more. But then again, it has been part of the business for a long time.
There was a song out, this was right before Behind Closed Doors by Charlie Rich back in 72. It was a song that his wife wrote called Life's Little Ups and Downs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And
right.
It was, Charlie Rich was basically, he was not unknown, but from Lonely Weekends in 59 or whatever to 1972, you might as well say he
Mo was. Hair saying.
He was
almost.
Not a viable, he was not really a viable artist. And that song came out, and that was always, I probably would go down as one of my five favorite songs of all time. And I remember lobbying really hard to the record company, which is a big record company, Epic Records, for them to follow up Behind Closed Doors with Life's Little Ups and Downs, and they would not do it because the outfit that had the publishing on Behind Closed Doors had the publishing on A Very Special Love Song, and that was going to be the next one. So the Life's Little Ups and Downs would not be released as a single on that. And through the years, it's been one of my favorite songs. It, ironically, today is a very big country hit by a guy named Ricky Van Shelton. Mm-hmm. The same song, the same arrangement, or whatever. So there's a fellow who specializes in going back. He's recorded some songs that Roger Miller had out on albums that Roger Miller wrote, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I meant when there's a wealth of material out there that has been written several years ago that can still apply today.
I can remember John Lennon talking about in a couple of his interviews that he said a good song, you know, can really be covered by a number of good songs never really die, I guess was his point, and it's hard to argue with.
Well, it was common for pop hits to be covered in the R&B or soul charts and country charts. It's still common, has been common, still is today, even a current hit. It's not as common for the current records to be done that way today as perhaps 10, 15, 20 years ago. But that was a big movement in the record business for a long time, where a record would be out pop and it would be covered in the other market.
And then you have to say, now how many songs are there out there like Unchained Melody? By the Righteous Brothers, which a movie comes out. Of course, movies are great for breaking records and always have been. The power there is just as awesome, as they say. But all of a sudden, you have to say, how many Unchained Melodies are there out there which could be a hit all over again? And by the way, the Righteous Brothers signed away all rights to that record several years ago, so they didn't get a dime on this one.
And I tell you, with that song, when people come into the shop, I play Al Hibbler's version.
That was a good one, yeah.
That was a good one.
And Les Baxter, too.
Les Baxter, yes. And Roy Hamilton, all there were a number of versions back in 55.
They love it.
You know, the thing about it is, too, people who didn't even grow up with the Righteous Brothers, who hear the music. Now, you know, that was some fine music. The double CD here a couple of weeks ago. It was in a bargain basement price. It was a shop where they were just getting rid of them, and I picked it up. And, of course, I knew all the Righteous Brothers hits, but there was so much other stuff on there, just outstanding.
I just heard the story the other day. Why do they call it Unchained Melody?
Well, it's from the motion picture Unchained.
I knew Leonard would know that.
In fact, if you listen to in the soundtrack of Ghost, where it's used, they use the instrumental version that's very close to the arrangement that Les Baxter used back in 1955 that has a little longer intro.
Yeah.
Let's go to Lexington, Indiana. Talk to Ed. You're on 84 WHAS.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
First thing I want to mention is that I was really sorry to hear that Ronnie Lundy was leaving the music scene in the newspaper in Louisville. That's a loss.
I think she's terrific.
I do, too. I rarely read a review of hers and then went out and bought the album, but I didn't feel like I should have listened to her. You're talking about digging up old songs and redoing them. There's also, at this point, a tremendous amount of movement in the record industry and reissues.
Mm-hmm.
Of old stuff.
Yes.
And I think it's simply because there's an awful lot of us out here that want to hear people and instruments and not computer programs when we put something on the...
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yes, sir. Can't argue that.
And I'll tell you, especially the Time Life Rock and Roll Era series, is like hearing the old songs for the first time. because they are so beautifully mastered. You hear things that that were never even audible on the best of machines on the 45s. And it's like hearing the songs for the first time again.
You know, it's funny. People don't think this makes a difference, but boy, it really does in terms of who gets a hold of the masters and puts them on compact disc or whatever. Some of them are done so much better than others. I always found that the stuff on Rhino, it's a small label, but boy, they put out some real quality stuff, and it sounds better than it ever did.
Collectibles is another one, and Relic is another one. All three of those labels do a real good job.
Hmm.
But that the Time Life, believe me, is a cut above any of them. It is really beautifully done.
We were talking earlier about the trends of what might be. The trend I didn't mention at that time that I hoped would happen would be that someone would come in big in the 90s that used real instruments and
right.
perhaps yeah. dug into some of maybe the old sounds in a little bit different way and took those trends and those old formats and turned them into a new style of their own using some real instrumentation. I miss that in music as you do.
Well, John yes. Mellencamp, he takes a decent shot at it.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a fair point.
And the group that unfortunately lost their figurehead, their core, Traveling Wilburys, they did a beautiful job on that first album. But the second one without Orbison was just a dud.
You know, I would have to agree with you, though, Ed. I hate to sound so old here, but boy, it would be nice to know you're listening to new artists who you know can really sing and play instruments as opposed to sitting behind a very sophisticated computer console.
Yeah, if a guitar player is doing something, I'd like to know it's his fingers and not the technician making the music.
You got it,
right.
pal.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, where Ed calling from a town, which is a very small town in Indiana, and is basically out and not really near anything, can be so into... not only you could be into the music, but obviously does some shopping around or whatever and has to go outside of Lexington, Indiana to get the material. So it's interesting that how the music business affects people not only in larger towns where the accessibility is there, like a Louisville, but in smaller towns like Lexington,
well,
Indiana.
Well, in Lexington, unless it's gas or snacks you want to buy, you can buy it here. Even Scottsburg is a fair-sized community, and they don't have a record store.
Wow.
That's a common complaint I hear about a Danville. Now, Danville, Kentucky, a town that I live in half of the last 10 years, is about 15,000-16,000 population, and it's a Kmart, Walmart, Rose's World.
Well, you know, there are a lot of good record stores here in Louisville, and not to plug too shamelessly here, but Clarence certainly has a great store and gets a lot of hard to find records for folks. And to be fair about this too, for folks in small town, there are some, I have found some really good mail order places that will get you some good hard to find CDs if you can't find them in your basic super record
Rounder,
stores, that type of thing.
Rounder and Midnight are two very good sources of just about anything you want, and their prices are competitive.
Hmm. Okay, those are we talking mail order places or something?
Rounder Records in Cambridge, Mass, and Midnight right. Records in New York.
Mm, right. I'm not too familiar with those. Thank you very much for the call tonight, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. We're 10 before 12 midnight on 84 WHAS. Color radar forecast from meteorologist Gary Rizzo in the Weather Center. Gary's calling for cloudy skies overnight tonight, down to around 17 for a low. Mostly cloudy, but reasonably dry tomorrow. That's the good news, 28 for a daytime high. Then Gary says the bad news is light snow moving into the area. Very little temperature change tomorrow night, though, down to around 24. Now, could have that snow turning to freezing rain, then light rain on Thursday with a daytime high of around 33. Right now, our wind chill factor is 14 above. Temperature is 21 at 84 WHAS. It's your official weather station.
This is Van Vance. Let me tell you about a fabulous product proven to help build your energy, vitality, and physical endurance naturally. It's called Ginsana. If you lack energy, if you're tired, if you feel you've lost your competitive edge, you should know about this product. It's revolutionary. Ginsana with G115 is the first standardized herbal product providing the highest quality ginseng extract in every soft gel. It was developed in Switzerland and clinically tested for 15 years. Double-blind research studies have proven that Ginsana helps build physical endurance by improving cardiovascular performance and the body's ability to utilize oxygen more efficiently. Who benefits from Ginsana? Middle-aged men and women, senior citizens, professional and amateur athletes. It's all natural, no sugar or yeast. Try Ginsana. It's available now at Taylor Drugs, Hook Drugs, GNC, and fine health food and drug stores everywhere. For a free research brochure, call 800-GINSANA. That's 800-GINSANA.
Hey, Joni, smile. Gotcha. Oh, Barbara, say cheese. Gotcha. Neil, over here. Gotcha.
Tudbury's lost his mind. I bet he's taken 500,000 pictures at this office party.
Oh, he heard about that big sale Kroger's having on photo processing. Debbie, I'm going to frame you now. Hold it. Gotcha.
Gee, I hope he doesn't catch our boss, Mr. Limpley, over there in the corner with his secretary.
Mr. Limpley, Miss Nelson, smile for the camera. Gotcha.
It's Kroger's biggest photo processing sale of the year. Have your pictures developed for as low as $1.99 with your choice of super prints or double prints. There's no limit. The more pictures, the merrier. And it's so easy. Just drop your film off at Kroger while you're shopping. You could save up to $3.30 per roll. But hurry, Kroger's biggest photo processing sale is for a limited time only.
Tudbury, may I have that film on your camera, please?
But Mr. Limpley, I have all the pictures of the office party in here, and with Kroger's photo processing sale, I was going to get you and Mrs. Limpley lots of prints of the party.
Tudbury, did I ever mention you'd be perfect for that vice president's job?
But sir, I work in the mailroom.
Let you and I walk over here. You know, I've always been impressed with you, Tudbury.
It's Kroger's biggest photo processing sale for a limited time only at Kroger, where holiday savings are always in focus. See 41 processing only.
We'll go back to the telephones in our remaining moments as we're talking music here. Get to as many folks as we can. We're at 7 shy of midnight. Joe Donovan takes over at the top of the hour with lots of great music and memories on the all-night rock and roll revival. But let's go to Larry. You're on 84 WHAS.
Hi, Joe. Merry Christmas.
And the same to you, sir.
What a great show.
Thank you.
You were talking earlier about the whether or not we'd have another group or another singer that had the appeal that Elvis and or the Beatles. And the one guy said that I believe they had a broad appeal because they appealed to a large audience,
mm-hmm.
age group. One thing that I don't think anybody mentioned was the fact that the Beatles wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs. And I don't think today we have groups out there that are writing so prolifically so that they don't have the same level of identification that the Beatles had.
Good point.
In terms of a personality.
You know, that's really true. You not only had a Beatles sound in terms of the way it was in the way it was delivered onto the record, but you also had a Beatles sound in terms of the way it was written.
Exactly. And they had their own feel that people could identify with. Another quick thing, you were talking about transferring albums and such, and I just happened to notice I just bought a new Johnny Mathis album, believe it or not, and it sounded a lot better than the other ones have. And I happened to open the liner notes and notice that he indicated that he wanted the album to have a very live sound, so he recorded it live in a church with an orchestra behind him instead of remixing. And the entire thing was done at Petersham Church in England.
Boy, there's a neat story.
Right.
I'd like to see more artists pay attention to how something sounds.
And this is a fabulous album. It's in a sentimental mood. It's Mathis sings Ellington, and it's all
right.
Live.
I'd love it.
I bet that would be terrific.
I would love it.
It is great.
Well, Larry, thanks for the call tonight.
Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Bailey in Joplin, Missouri. You're on 84 WHAS.
Yeah, how are you this morning?
Doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Yeah, I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm traveling tonight, and I've heard you twice. And man, I tell you, I really enjoyed your show both times that I've heard you.
Well, thank you.
And what I really was interested in, I went to Vietnam in the early 60s, and Barbara Lynn had an album out, and that's the first and the last time I've seen it. And, man, I've been looking for 25 years and trying to find it. Is there any way that you could tell me how I could run that down?
Is it the album with You'll Lose a Good Thing on it?
Yeah.
I believe it was. Clarence, is it still reissued? The reissue was available recently.
Yes. I've got a source on the East Coast for that has been reissued.
Turn that vehicle around, head toward Louisville.
That's right.
well, listen, if you would do me one little favor, could you, take me off the air? That was my wife closing the door. Take me off the air and sit, because I'm in a car and I don't have a pencil or anything.
Well, can you hold on for about, if you can hold on for about 4 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
I can put you on hold here and we'll get back together with you at the top of the hour.
I really would appreciate it.
If you can hold on for just a couple of minutes, we'll be right back with you, all right?
Yes, I appreciate that.
All right, and I appreciate you calling from Joplin, Missouri. Let's go to another Larry. You're on 84 WHAS.
Yeah, John, a quick question for you. You're down in Danville now. Are you familiar, do you know of a gentleman down there by the name of Kendall Hayes?
Sure do. Wrote Walk On By.
Right.
Yes, sir. Fine man. In fact, he's written about 200 songs.
Right. Okay. And final quick question here. I'm trying to find an old record. Otis Williams and the Charms, Ivory Towers. Anybody seen it around your station or store?
Go to the store.
Yeah, it's the store, yes.
It's reissued. It's available.
It's a reissue on a 45, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds like Clarence got you covered there.
Thank you, yeah, got
I appreciate
covered.
The call. Let's all go. Right. William, you're on 84 WHAS.
Hey, how you all doing?
Doing good. Pretty good.
Hey, I'm trying to find an old boxed set of Hank Sr. Do you have any idea where I can find that?
You're looking for vinyl?
Talking about that earlier. Right?
Vinyl, cassette, CD, what?
I just cut the tail end of the show.
What medium, vinyl, cassette, or compact disc?
Album.
Okay. Clarence?
Boxed album, 5-record set.
Well, there's. We were talking earlier about there's. I don't know. That would be very difficult to find. It would be collectible, but now there are some new things that Clarence can tell you about here that I think that might even sound better.
There's a box set out now on Hank Sr., and I got to check. I don't know if it's on vinyl. I think it's only on CD and cassette, but it contains all of his 78 releases from Sterling all the way through MGM, and there's 74 songs on it.
Is it the double record set that they came out from, I think it was Polygram?
Well, it is on Polygram, but it's brand new release, and it's even got two songs that's never been released.
Didn't I read, too, none of these songs have been sweetened.
Right.
Had changed. Some of the later Hank songs, they added some strings or did some things, too, to make them sound a little more current. These go back to the original masters,
and
right,
was,
the way they were recorded in the late
48
'40s.
78 songs in his short life, I'd say you have them all.
Yeah.
Okay. I would.
How do I go about getting in touch with you to get a hold of these?
Better put him on hold, too.
Well, Clarence doing record business here tonight. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We don't do too much of this, but if his name is C's Records, and it's here in Louisville, and I'll make you the same offer. If you want to hold on for a second, we'll get to you here in just a minute.
You're doing better than John R. did.
How's that sound?
Hey, I'll hold.
All right, he's going to hold. I'll tell you what. Clarence is taking names and writing up orders. And my goodness, we got him. I can hear that cash register ringing now.
Oh, boy. Here's a happy man, folks.
That's right.
He's
miles big.
Jingle bells.
He says, right. He said, it is Christmas tonight.
There is a Santa Claus.
He said, honey, I hate to leave you on Christmas, but we got some business to transact. All right.
And he's bringing home the bacon tonight.
He is taking care of business. I want to thank all three of you guys. This is always always fun. We've done this on holidays for the past couple of years off and on. And
we've done this, how many times? Three or four times
now.
Yeah.
See, I don't like working on holidays. I mean, you know, I didn't figure I'd work tonight. I thought
this
I'd just
not
have some
work.
No, we have fun. We don't fight. We don't squabble. No. We just have
that's
fun
right.
And love talking to everybody
right.
out there.
We do. Yeah. We do have a good time, and this is a great little scam for me. I got the boss thinking I'm working here, and I'm just having some friends over talking about music, which is what I think all of us love to do. Johnny Randolph, thank you very much for coming up from Danville, sir.
You're welcome.
We'll do it again.
Thanks to the callers for the nice comments, too. It was good questions.
We'll do it again soon. Clarence Lidster of C's Records in Louisville.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in tonight. And, boy, you got a lot of people waiting to talk to you, pal. And also to our good friend Leonard Yates. Thank you for coming in. And
thanks, Joe. Leonard, it's a pleasure.
You know more about music than any seven or eight people I know. Thank you so much. And always enjoy having you with us on the program tonight as well. Joe Donovan is up next with the all-night rock and roll revival coming up.
The news leader, 84 WHAS Louisville.
From ABC News, I'm Marty McNeely. President Mikhail Gorbachev gained full parliamentary support Tuesday for amendments to the Constitution that would give him more powers than any Soviet leader in history, but he still appears headed for a collision with the country's largest republic. ABC's Sheila Kast has more on the story in this report.
The leader of the Russian Republic angrily denounced efforts by Soviet President Gorbachev to increase his powers. Boris Yeltsin, a major rival of Gorbachev, told reporters he would call an emergency session of the Parliament of Russia, the largest component of the Soviet Union, to pass retaliatory measures. The two leaders have sharp disagreements. Yeltsin supports private ownership and regional control of natural resources, while Gorbachev wants the central government to maintain control of resources and called private ownership bourgeois. Sheila Kast, ABC News, Moscow.
I'll have more news after this.
My name is Tony, and
Right by the side of this road here is where I had the fatal accident 3 years ago. I was out with this girl, and we were drinking and smoking a little pot, and I decided to drive out here. Nah, I didn't get into a head-on crash, nothing like that. I was lucky. No, we just parked and went into the back seat, and, you know. Hey, I knew all that stuff about sex being dangerous, but hey, I was stoned, so I took a chance. No problem until a few weeks ago when I started feeling bad and went to the doctor, and he told me I had AIDS. You know, funny thing. When I came home stoned that night 3 years ago, my father started yelling at me. Hey, don't you know you could have wrecked your whole life driving around like that? Yeah.
AIDS, another way drugs can kill. Call 1-800-662-HELP for help and information.
This public service message brought to you by the Advertising Council and the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
American troops involved in the watchful wait in the Persian Gulf celebrated Christmas quietly. Services in Saudi Arabia were intense to avoid antagonizing the Saudis, who are Muslim. ABC's Dave Barrett spent the day with some Marines from the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. He talked to Lance Corporal Pat Noon in the chow line.
There's a lot of sand, the wind's blowing. It's just not Christmas. It doesn't feel like it. It just feels like another day. Everybody's working. They don't really, the spirit of Christmas isn't really around.
Saudi King Fahd and other Persian Gulf leaders are urging Saddam Hussein to spare Iraq the horrors of war. At the conclusion of a four-day summit, leaders of the 6 conservative Gulf states issued a call for Iraq to withdraw from Kuwait. The council says it stands firmly with Kuwait. 6 Christmases in captivity and no sign of freedom. Americans Terry Anderson and Thomas Sutherland have been held in Lebanon since 1985. A total of 13 Westerners are still being held captive. An Israeli military panel has rejected appeals by 4 Muslim fundamentalists who want to avoid being deported from the occupied territories. They're accused of being members of an organization involved in the 3-year-old Palestinian uprising against Israeli occupation. The panel has given them 48 hours to appeal to the Supreme Court, which rarely overturns such decisions. According to South Korea's top internal security agency, a plot to overthrow the government has been foiled for the second time in 2 months, and authorities say they've arrested and indicted 31 members of an underground group, including university students. Things are getting back to normal in the South American nation of Suriname just a day after the country's army chief staged the bloodless coup. He's promising to relinquish power to an elected government within 100 days. Meanwhile, U.S. officials are criticizing the takeover as anti-democratic. California's orange crop is one victim of the record cold wave that has swept the West. Officials in one county say losses could amount to $200 million. Meanwhile, a half dozen cities reported record lows again Tuesday as the cold wave continues, and heavy snow fell around the Great Lakes. In Florida, Miami temperatures were in the mid-70s Tuesday, and this golfer has the nerve to complain.
The weather's a little bit cool for us. It's only about 75 to 78 degrees. I'm wearing a sweater because I'm not used to this cold weather.
Poor guy. This is ABC News.
And I'm John Erich, News Radio 84 WHAS, where it's 21 degrees and a wind chill factor of 17. The University of Louisville Cardinal team is now in Tempe, Arizona, preparing for the Fiesta Bowl, and due to the uproar over the state of Arizona not okaying a paid holiday for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, bowl officials promise a halftime show and tribute to civil rights. Organizers say more than 800 singers, dancers, and musicians will participate. Since the state of Kentucky first had a living will law 6 months ago, there have been thousands of requests for information from health care and legal specialists. There's, however, no way to keep track of who has one or who signed one. The father of the bill, Lexington Democratic Representative Ernesto Scorzoni, said his office has given out more than 10,000 living wills, information on living wills to groups and individuals who ask for them. There'll be an interesting reunion in Saudi Arabia this Christmas season. Command Sergeant Major Stephen Cheatham will be reunited with his son, Stanley. The 47-year-old career soldier from the Carrollton area will meet his son at an R&R center in Saudi Arabia. Stanley was sent to the Middle East in September.